Hey, good morning, everybody. It's Sunday and it's 8 a.m. Pacific time. I don't know where you are in the world, but whatever it is, we just want to say good morning, good afternoon, good evening. And it's just a wonderful opportunity for us to be able to worship God, the God who gives and cares and loves you. And so let's come before God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time. We thank you for the opportunity to be connected through social platforms and through this medium. And we just thank you, Lord, for everything. We praise your name always and forever. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. I'm Donna Schuler, and this is Robert Schuler. This is part of the Robert Schuler Ministries. This is our Sunday morning online service. And this is just a little bitty part of what we do in ministry. And we also have a live service, which starts at 10:30 a.m., and we conduct that here in Newport Beach, California. So if you're anywhere in Southern California, Sunday morning, you can get down and see us. At least come for a visit at 10:30 a.m., and we meet in the Civic Center, the Newport Beach Civic Center, in the beautiful community room. So 10:30 every Sunday morning. That's Pacific time. But if you didn't know that, you wouldn't be able to come here anyway. It's too far away.
I think I started these worship services back in 2019 or maybe even 18.
What are you talking about? Online?
On Sunday mornings at 8 a.m.
No, way before that. Oh, you said 19? No,
I was
going to
say 2019.
No.
Or possibly 2018. Wasn't much earlier than that we started doing it every Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm. We used to be from the park.
And before that, I just would sit up in front. And I remember sitting in this big chair. Anyway, we've been doing it for a few years, to say the least.
Well, prior to that, you were on TV. So you've been doing this in front of a camera for over 40 years.
I started preaching in front of a camera in 1976. Right. So, yeah, that was a long time ago. But anyway.
The only difference is, you know, it's very different to speak in front of a camera without having a live congregation in front of us. Unless you've done this before, you just don't understand the difference in the importance of the electricity of life and the feedback you get when you pray, when you share, when you you feel the Holy Spirit, you feel and you see emotion on people's faces as you talk. And so, you know, online church is an okay thing, but it really is lacking a lot in the human.
You'll get a kick out of this one, Donna, from Claudia. I'm sorry. I was just looking at her comments because Donna's wearing purple.
This is so weird.
And I'm wearing blue.
This is so purple.
But the way the
camera, it's so
the
weird.
The way lighting works, it looks like we're matching. We're wearing our matching blue.
I know. What's so funny is this is literally purple. I'm going to have to take a picture of
that's
most
why
of
I
later.
Started laughing. I'm
I know.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm trying to say something serious.
I know. All of a sudden I start laughing.
We like blue, but yeah, when he turned on the camera, I'm like, we look like we're identical. This is honestly purple, Claudia. It's completely different. This is like a pale, this is pretty accurate. This is purple. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, there's Claudia's comments.
Yeah, love you, Claudia. Thank you. You like us in our matching blue.
Yeah.
It matches my poster back there, too. We were saying, oh, my gosh, it looks like we have this whole fearless women theme going on from the cover of my book. And actually, I'm purple. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah, and Judith is saying the same thing.
I know.
She's saying, I didn't want to say that, but I noticed the matching right away. Nice to match. Yeah, but we're not matching. Anyway.
It's weird. Anyway, I'm going to take a picture of myself.
Anyway, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. No, I didn't say that. No. I didn't do that. Okay. No, I just said, hey, good morning, everybody.
Oh, we love this. We love being with you. And we wish we could be with you in person. And that's what's so great about 10:30 a.m. If you're in Southern California, come see us and visit us. And you'll love the group of people. We have a small group of people. We don't have a large church like we did for many, many years. It's a very intimate, small group of people. We all know each other. We celebrate meals together at least once a month. In fact, today after service, we're going over to Fashion Island, which is a big outdoor mall, and we're going to be indoors. It's supposed to be raining. we're meeting in the food court and we all get to share something, whatever anybody chooses. That way we don't have to be responsible for buying somebody something they don't like. They buy their own. We come and we have a huge table. And anyway, enough of that.
Yeah. So one of the things we've been doing on Sunday mornings is I've been giving a little announcement of something that you may not hear about on mainline media. And one of the things I want to share with you today is called An Open Letter to the American People for Signatories of this Declaration of Military Accountability. So it's really a declaration of military accountability, which is given to the American people. So you probably see the quote I threw up there of Albert Einstein. Maybe you recognize him. He's got a pretty distinguished look, doesn't he?
Yeah.
With that hair and all. But never do anything against conscience, even if the state demands it.
Mm-hmm.
So this gentleman right here, it's the same person.
Wow.
You can see that. I have a hard time seeing that.
I see it. But, absolutely.
But it's Brad Miller, Lieutenant Brad Miller. He's
a lieutenant colonel.
Honey. Lieutenant colonel.
There's a big difference. I'm just telling you. I come from a military family.
So he left the military after 19 years, which means he didn't get his 20th year in, which means he walked away from his pension.
Wow.
That's a huge thing. And
absolutely.
He did that because of conscience. Just like Albert Einstein said, do never allow even the government to violate your conscience. Never do anything against conscience, even if the state demands it. So what did Lieutenant Colonel do? Lieutenant Colonel Brad Miller sent out this Twitter announcement, or I guess it's an X announcement.
And it's called a tweet.
And it's a, well, is it still called a tweet?
Now it's called an X. I don't know.
He sent out an X. I don't know. Exactly.
He sent out an X. He sent out a tweet on X. I don't know.
And this, he sent this out on 4 a.m. Eastern time on January 1st. And it said, today, a few minutes ago, senior military leaders received an email with a letter attached called the Declaration of Military Accountability. I know because I sent the email. I sent it on behalf of myself and 230 other signatories of the letter. The letter is not addressed to the military leaders, but rather to the American people. And that's why I'm sharing it with you today. The email was merely to inform these military leaders that there is a group of troops and vets pledging to the American public that we will do everything lawfully within our power to stop the willful destruction of our military by its own leadership.
Mm.
Let's take our country back in 2024 and let's begin by defending our military from its own leadership. You can find the body of the letter below, so we'll have it on a website where you can find it as well, along with the names of the 231 signatories. So the letter was actually written by this gentleman, Robert A. Greene, Jr., Commander, U.S. Navy. And he is still enlisted. He is active. And he wrote the letter and he signed the letter. And he will probably face some sort of disciplinary action for what he is doing. But here is the gist of the letter. Again, the title is An Open Letter to the American People from Signatories. So the letter is to the American people. And this is the main context of the letter. You can see behind, you can see a sheet of paper. That is the letter. Mm-hmm. I have it in my hand. I can read the whole thing, but I'd rather have you go to the website and read it yourself because it will take probably, I'm guessing 600 words. It's a full page, but here's what it says. While implementing the COVID-19 vaccine mandate, military leaders broke the law trampled constitutional rights, denied informed consent, permitted unwilling medical experimentation, and suppressed the free exercise of religion. Service members and families were significantly harmed by these actions. That's the gist of the letter.
Can I say something really quick?
Yes.
This is why we are transmitting now via our website, because there's a really good chance this will be taken down.
Because I use the vaccine word.
No, more than that. There's just a lot of details in there, and I would not be surprised
if we get taken down. Probably YouTube first.
As well. YouTube. And so anyway, I can't stress again, please go to drschuler.org, drschuller.org. It'll take you a little bit to find us. We're only on live. If you click on there, it says nobody's on there. It's because we only do this when we're live. So it will the link only works. But you go to our website and then you click on online services. You can find it. It's like the third or fourth tab at the top of the website. Click on it and then just scroll down and you'll find it. Church services online or live online, something like that. But 8 a.m. Pacific time every Sunday. Click on there. That's the first choice for watching this so we don't get taken down. Anyway, I had to say that.
Yeah, I totally get what you're saying.
You maybe forgot that you can't even mention the B word.
No, I didn't forget.
Even worse. A book I told somebody to order was off of Amazon today.
So they have zero desire of any form of independence. They simply want reform. So it reminds me of the Reformation when Martin Luther went to the Catholic Church and he nailed his thesis on the doors of Wittenberg. And that started the Protestant Reformation. And it's called Reformation because the goal of Martin Luther and the Reformers were not to start a new denomination, not to separate from the Catholic Church, but to reform the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's called the Reformation. This feels in many ways like the same thing. And what they want to do in the Department of Justice is to bring back accountability, and specifically to the senior executive service, which your senior executive service is composed of military personnel who have been selected and not necessarily earned the right to be where they are. That's why you have some officers in very high-ranking places, which you, from the outside, you scratch your head and go, are you kidding me? This person is in charge of our military. This doesn't make any sense. So anyway, they want to bring accountability. I want to encourage you to read it, and if you agree with it, to sign the petition. Here is a QR code which will take you straight to. Oh, I hope that.
Yep, that'll interfere. You can't have that.
No, that's not going to work.
That's not going to work.
How did that get in there?
Don't know.
That
QR code won't work.
No,
you can't have a little anything in it.
I see that.
No.
And it's too late for me to pull something else up.
So where can they go? Is there a website?
So all you have to, you have to go to the Declaration of Military Accountability, and you may have to go on DuckDuckGo to find it. If you use Google as your only search engine, all you're going to get is what Google wants to support. If you go to DuckDuckGo,
that's a search engine.
It's another search engine. So all you do instead of going to Google, in your search engine, you put DuckDuckGo and you go to that search engine and it will come right up. And it is the Declaration of Military Accountability. And they're asking for citizens like me and Donna and yourself to sign this petition so that they will be held accountable for their actions. And the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States and the amendments that have been made to that are followed and adhered, and we don't continue to violate Nuremberg codes that we have assigned to as a nation and as people. And so these individuals are very, very brave. Yeah. And Donna's going to pray for them later today after she reads our scripture. And we're going to continue to pray for our nation that God brings healing and hope and goodness to our nation. And this is one of the steps we take. And if it means that YouTube takes this down, so be it. That's the way it is. But it is what it is. So we want to thank you for your support in this and other endeavors that we have. And this is what makes our ministry a little different than others that don't want to speak out because they're afraid of being branded. Mm-hmm. So we're not afraid of being branded because that's God told us to be a light, not to hide our light. So I'm going to be talking about that this morning. So why don't you go ahead and read the scripture,
you know,
the prayers.
That, you know that I thought of a song called
Branded. I know.
There was a show when we were growing up called Branded about a man.
Yeah. Okay, I'll let you read the scripture and offer a prayer. I'll be right back.
Okay, good morning. In a little bit, we'll talk about why my poster is back there for my book, but I'm happy to be with you this morning and honored to read the scripture from John 8, verses 12-20. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. We know the Lord continues to offer his blessing each time we read these holy words. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for giving us your light in a world that is filled with so much darkness. Help us remember always that the light extinguishes the darkness. Even a tiny little match in a dark room, in a dark cave, in a dark night will light up the sky. Lord, I pray for these military personnel. I pray and I thank you that they were and are brave enough to step out in truth, to not be manipulated into doing something that is against their conscience and against their religious beliefs, Lord. Lord, help them to know that they made the right decision. They are making the right decisions. And Lord, help each and every one of us to stand behind these brave people, men and women, who protect our country, so that we indeed will be able to continue to protect our country from invaders of all sorts in years to come, Lord. Lord, I pray right now for these people that I know that you are strengthening them, that you're giving them hope and courage and patience and perseverance, Lord. And I thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So I was talking about the poster. I mentioned
it behind me.
So most of you know, if you've just now tuning in and starting listening to us, this is part of the Robert Shuler Ministries, Donna Shuler, Robert Shuler. You may not know that I wrote a book. It was my fourth book, actually. It is my fourth book. It came out in May, and it's called Fearless Women. And I would love for you to purchase it because 100% of the money goes into the ministry. You can get it on Amazon. And it's about overcoming your negative emotions with positive realities that you find in knowing Jesus Christ. So that being said, one of the announcements is that this year, in fact, next month in February, I don't have the exact launch date, but I'm going to be starting an Instagram channel. I already have an Instagram page. It's been Donna Shuler Nutrition, and it's changed now to The Fearless Minute with Donna Shuler. And if you've been part of following me as a nutritionist, it's still nutrition for the body, the mind, the soul, and the spirit. So just make sure that you keep, please keep in touch with us. And know in February, I'm starting a channel called The Fearless Minute, and they'll be live, little vignettes Monday through Friday. So, and they have themes. I have themes for each day. And it's called The Fearless Minute, again, because it's very short. It's not a long form video like what we do here with Sunday Morning. This will be like little teeny bits of advice and bits of wisdom and health bits, all kinds of things, Monday through Friday from me, Donna Shuler, and The Fearless Minute on Instagram. So go to my page now and subscribe. You can find me on there, and I appreciate it because we're going to have fun.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. I get to listen to it. And
if you do. I don't know.
I will.
We hardly read. He hasn't read my book yet. You've not read my book.
I've read most of it.
No.
Sure.
I don't read all his books. He doesn't read mine.
Oh, I read it while it was being edited. I didn't read the finished copy because I read most of it.
He read it because I read it by him. Anyway, enough of that. So let's do the offering.
Yeah, let's do the offering. I like that idea.
The important thing is, one of the important things is that.
How do you like that?
Oh, very good. Very
good.
So
that's a QR code to, on the right is a QR code to our Paytrace or Givlia or
it's our
Robert Shuler Ministry. It's our giving app.
And the other one is Robert Shuler Ministries Venmo account. And if you're watching with a cell phone or on your screen right now, unless you have your cell phone next to your laptop or your desktop, you won't be able to take a picture of these, but you can rewind later. And anyway, those are great ways to give. And if you don't like to give that way, you can go to our website. Again, it's drshuler.org, drshuler.org. Closed captioning changes that. That's why we always repeat that. And once you get to the website, you go all the way to the bottom of the homepage, and our address is there, our mailing address. And this is our office address, Robert Shuler Ministries, 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. Again, you're going to have to go to the website to get all that. And also, robertshulerministries.org will take you to the same place, the same landing page, drshuler.org or robertshulerministries.org. And if you don't like that, you can still go to that website, and over to the side, you'll see a button that says, I'd like to give, and it'll take you through some really simple prompts, and you can sign up that way. And just know that we appreciate those of you that already give. We couldn't do what we do without you. And it's important to give. If you don't decide to give to this ministry, give to a ministry that's, got its pulse on what's going on in the world. And of course, a ministry that loves and follows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I mean, that's utmost, of course, believes in the Bible and tells the truth. So if you don't support this ministry, find a church because churches do need your support. They don't advertise. We don't advertise at all. And it's all free will donations, and churches need them more than ever. People need church more than ever. So thank you for what you're able to give.
Yeah. So with that, why don't I give my message? Yeah.
Okay. Here's your Bible.
Thank you. So got the Bible, got that. So this morning we're going through the I Ams of Jesus. Jesus says several times throughout the Gospel of John, I am. Last week we talked about the first one where he says, where Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And today we're going to talk about the second I am statement of Jesus, where he says, I am the light of the world. And next week we'll talk about I am the sheepfold, the gate of the sheepfold. I am the gate. And but this morning we're going to focus on John chapter 8, because in that chapter, Jesus explains what he means by being the light of the world, and how if we follow him, we will experience the life, because that's what the light is for. It leads us into life as opposed to death. So let me first start by giving you a clear understanding of where Jesus is in his ministry, where he is standing when he shares this, and give you an understanding a little bit of this passage. So the passage that Donna read for us today, where Jesus begins by saying, "I'm the light of the world," it concludes by telling us exactly where Jesus was when he read these words and told us these things. He was in Jerusalem, in the temple, and it even gets very specific. Not only was he in the temple, but he was in the temple of the women's court of the temple. So let me show you some pictures here. In Jerusalem, the Mount of Jerusalem in the time of Jesus looked somewhat like this. This would be a view from the Mount of Olives looking across the valley and at the Western Gate. So this is the Western Gate you see there, very clearly highlighted. And there are scripture passages that say that's where Jesus Christ will return when he comes again. He will enter through the Western Gate. Then to the top right, you see four towers there, not off of the temple grounds area. That is the Praetorium where Jesus was actually tried by Pilate. And that's where Pilate had his troops. And they could very quickly be dispatched into the temple area. And so it overlooks all of the temple grounds. Now, the main entrance to the temple area is the red roof. You'll see some stairs going up there, and I have taught on those stairs. Those stairs have been excavated and are existing, and that's the main entrance to the temple area. You can see the red roof there would be the agora, and that would have been where the money changers are that Jesus cast out of the temple. So that's a brief look at the temple from that angle. Let's take a look at it from the opposite angle now, from the east side. So we're looking at the back of the Holy of Holies on the top. And you can see in the foreground, it's hard to see, but you see a little mound there with three crosses. That's where Golgotha is. That's where Jesus was crucified. Now on the left-hand side, you see those four towers. That's where Pilate was. That's where Jesus was tried. And again, they can overlook the courtyard. You see the red roof building on the right. That would be the main entrance to the temple grounds. The temple itself is the inner courtyard, or the inner walls. And so let me take you to that now, so you have a better idea of what's going on. This is those inner grounds. I don't know if you can read it, but the area of the women is, you see the gold wall in the back. That's the entrance to the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest was allowed in there. In the foreground, you have the court of women. Only women were allowed in the first court. So if you go through the gate at the very bottom of the picture, that is the entrance to the section of the women, and it's the large section. Only Jews were allowed in there. Only Israelis were allowed in there. Any foreigner who was in there, and there are signs actually pasted on the outside of those walls, anyone entering here will be subject to death, execution. It was crimes of the highest authority against those people. And in the two sides you see are covered chambers. And on those two sides, those covered chambers, is where the offerings, the offering plates were held. And let me read to you again. Now, seeing that picture, Jesus is standing basically in those areas that are covered in the front cover, front part of this temple. And it was there. That's what the Bible says. In the 20th verse, it says, he spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. So the offerings were put in the women's quarters so the women could make offerings. You know, they want to make sure that everybody can make their donations. And this treasury of the temple was located in the court of women, which is in the front there, and all around the simple colonnade. And within it, against the walls, there were 13 chests or templates were placed. And those, so there's 13 of those, and they all had different purposes. The chests were called trumpets, and the reason they're called trumpets is because they looked like this. That's what the chests look like. In fact, you might be thinking of the widow's mite, or the story of the widow putting in all she had, and Jesus just applauding her for her faith and giving out of her lack, while the others gave out of their want. So the chests were called trumpets because they were narrow at the top and wide at the bottom. Each chest was labeled for a different type of offering, and the funds collected in them were earmarked for specific uses. Jesus was in the court of women when he observed many people, including a needy widow, offering contributions. It was there that he said, I am the light of the world, in John 8:12. Two chests were reserved for the temple tax, one for the current year and one for the past year. Chests 3 and 7 were collecting funds for the appointed values of turtle doves, pigeons, wood incense, and golden vessels, respectively. If the offerer had set aside more than the stipulated price for an offering, then he deposited the leftover amount in one of the remaining chests. Chest 8 was for money left over from sin offerings. Chests 9 through 12 have funds left over from guilt offerings and for the sacrifices of birds, from the offering of Nazarites, and from the offerings of lepers. Chest 13 was for voluntary contributions. So that gives you an idea of the significance of where Jesus was standing. He's standing in this place where people are seeking the forgiveness of sins, where they're making contributions, because by making their contributions, that's the way they find their way into heaven. Now Jesus comes and he teaches something completely different. What we didn't read, because again, chapter 8 of John is long, and the first few verses of chapter 8 deals with a story you may be very familiar with. It's the woman who was condemned for adultery. The priests brought this woman to Jesus, and they said, this woman should be stoned to death. She was caught in the act of adultery. What do you say? And Jesus said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And one by one, they all walked away. Immediately following that, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And what a beautiful testimony that is. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And that's what this message is all about, is it's about life. And it's not about life living perfectly. And if you don't live perfectly, then you have to make sure you buy the right doves and you make the right penance and you do the right things in order to inherit eternal life. It is none of those things. It is simply following the light of Jesus, who's always been with us here. That's why he says, I am, very distinctly referring back to Yahweh, when God presented himself before Moses and said, I am. And who are you to say sent you, Moses? I am sent you. And Jesus is saying, I am the light of the world. Those who follow me will never walk in darkness. And that's the way it is. Don and I, one of our favorite things to do, I'm not sure Donna likes it as much as I do, is to actually cruise on the ocean at night. I find it just invigorating and beautiful and lovely. And if we're cruising all night long, we'll have other people, guests with us, and everyone will take a turn behind the wheel, looking at the gauges and the radar, and just making sure the boat hasn't gone off course and the like. And I will sleep up in the flybridge, we call it. And if somebody has to, if somebody has any questions whatsoever, they wake me up and I check everything to make sure we're still on course, make sure everything's good, make sure we're not going to run into another boat. Because cruising in the Pacific, once you get a couple miles offshore, the only thing you have to worry about is not rocks. You don't have to worry about shoals or anything. The only thing you have to worry about when you're out there is another vessel. And the other vessels always have lights on. So we look at the radar. We get an indication if they're within range. And so at night, you lose all your bearings. You have your instruments that you can follow. But the number one thing to follow is the lights. And you can see off in the distance sometimes a cruise ship all lit up and bright, but it won't come on the radar because it's so far away. The radar really only works for about 20 miles. And it's not because the radar isn't good enough. It's just because of the curvature of the earth. Radar only works so good because of that. On the water, you're at complete level areas. So something like a cruise ship will show up beyond 20 miles, but my radar just has an accurate range of about 20 miles. Even though it says 40, I don't trust it beyond 20. So 20 miles means you have 2 hours to react to anything. So giving you a perspective. So at night, it is pitch dark. You can't see the horizon. You can't see anything except you can see lights. So at nighttime, the heavenly hosts come alive. And you can see everything. It is absolutely magnificent. One night, Don and I were out cruising. She was taking her watch. It was like 2 or 3 in the morning. Everything was pitch dark, perfectly clear night. The sea was as calm as can be. All we could hear was the hum of the engines. And I was asleep. And a little bit later, she woke me up. She says, "There's a light on the horizon." And I looked, and sure enough, there on the horizon, you could see a light. And we couldn't figure out what it was. It seemed to be moving, but it didn't seem to be moving. So we couldn't figure out whether it was a ship or what it was. It's just a light out there. And all we could tell, it was a light. And then as we continued to study it, we noticed it kept appearing to come closer and closer. But then it changed. Instead of coming closer, it went higher and higher. And we discovered that it was so clear that night that when the star came above the horizon, it was a star. But it was so bright, it looked like it was a boat or a ship off in the distance, and we were heading straight for it. An amazing thing. Light is just one of the most amazing things in the world. You don't have to have much light for it to be actually illuminate the entire room. A light. Let me share another story of light. Again, another boating story. And the story goes that the queen was on her yacht. And I think this is Apocrypha, but bear with me. As the ship and their crew are cruising through the sea at night, they see a light off in the distance. And so the the captain of Her Majesty's Jock gets on and says, vessel at, and they gave the course, at a course of 120, please change course in 10 degrees south. And the operator comes back, vessel heading towards me, take 10 degrees south. And their Majesty's yacht comes back and says, this is Her Majesty's yacht. We demand you move 10 degrees north. And so he comes back again and says, this is the lighthouse. We demand you move 10 degrees north. Obviously, the lighthouse can't move. The king's ship is heading for destruction. And it's an example for us to realize that if we follow the correct light, if we follow the light of Jesus, we don't follow it into destruction, but we follow it into life. And that's what this is all about. That's what Jesus is talking about. If we go through life trying to find our own way, trying to earn our salvation, trying to give our penance for our sins, and find grace through buying it, through penance, through giving our offerings, it always leads to the same thing: failure. We're never good enough. We never can give enough. We never have the ability to earn our way into heaven. It doesn't happen. It's like telling the lighthouse, hey, I'm an important person. You can move. The lighthouse isn't going to move. Destruction is going to come. The only way to find salvation and to find light is to realize that Jesus is our guide. And as we follow Jesus Christ, we will find the grace, the hope, the joy, the peace, everything that life offers, as long as we follow Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. Whoever follows him will never walk in darkness. That's what we need to learn, that by allowing the light of Christ to shine in our lives, because that's what Jesus is talking about. Throughout the Gospel of John, he has John has this narrative for us to follow to understand how Jesus is and how Jesus works. Because he opens up right away with a completely different way than the other Gospels. The other Gospels, well, Mark opens up with Jesus being a mature man and starting his ministry. Matthew and Luke start with the nativity and the birth of Jesus Christ. John opens up with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. And then later in verse 4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, of people, of everybody. In him was life, and the life was the light of the men. And so what we find out and what we discover is that as we follow Jesus Christ, as we allow his life to shine in our hearts, and as we accept him for who he is, he produces life within us, an abundant life, a life that we can't begin to experience, but can totally understand as we follow the light of Jesus Christ. That's our message for today. It is a message of hope. It's a message of grace. It's a message of anyone who comes before him, who confesses their sins, who says, save me, Jesus, will be saved. And that's our message. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Whoever follows me, he says, will not perish, but have everlasting life. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us these words, for revealing to us that you are God in human flesh, that you and the Father were one, that because of you and your grace for us, we live in light. And so we thank you, God, for this time. We thank you for this hope. We thank you for our future. We thank you for today. You are our God. We are your people. We love you, Lord, and we praise your name always and forever. Amen. God is blessing you, everybody. Go with him. Go to our website, drschuler.org, drschuller. Find and support our ministry by clicking on that Like to Give tab. Find all of the messages that we have on our YouTube channel, Robert Schuler Ministries YouTube channel. And we'll be here again next week. I'll bring more information that will bring joy and goodness and hope into your hearts as we serve a risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And now may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always and forever. Amen. God is blessing you, everybody. Bye-bye.